We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us, Fangrove Baptist Church, on our Wednesday night Bible study. Hope and pray you've joined us to worship in spirit and in truth. Tonight, the topic I'm going to talk about is a topic that I often put into a Sunday morning service. It is a topic a lot of times that I will bring into a teaching service, because everything that you and I study or deal with within our individual life and helping others, if God is not all there is, then there is no hope. So what I wanted to do on this one is to go in the title of God Is. God Is. Now, a good way for us to better understand the depth of who God is in reference to our individual life. Listen, when we will take who God is in our own life, and that we will study, we will pray, and we will seek His face for our own life, then we will be more equipped to help others as they seek God's will within their life. You see, if we have not found that peace within ourselves, how are we going to be able to help someone else find the peace? How are we going to be able to say, okay, you know, let me share scripture with you. Let me share this. Well, one thing that's good for us to share, but always let them do this first. I'm talking about witnessing now, or dealing with someone who is really hurting. Let them tell their story. Always important. Every life has a story. And every person, the majority, want to tell their life story. They want to share it. Okay, here they are with a broken story, meaning a broken life. And they're getting that out, the brokenness. Well, at the point then to where you can tell that they have shared with you all they're going to share, then is the time for fellow Christians to speak about the same type of situation they were in. Folks too often believe it's only happening to them. Nobody else knows how I feel. Nobody else feels this bad about it. Well, and as we share then, and as we share how God had touched our life, well, He's never done that to me yet. The reason we're sharing that is always to give hope. When we look at the darkest time, I watched another movie last night. We'll go home and face it. Get us a movie tonight we don't cry on. I said, okay, I've got it. Already decided I want to watch it. It is Miracles from Heaven. And so,
Is it good?
Oh, gosh, yes. Excellent. Except for the crying part. I thought, I'm getting to be such a sissy. But when you hear the child, and this is, let me work that in here. When you're helping someone else, and especially if they have a child, there's nothing that'll break your heart more than your own little girl or little boy laying there begging, Mama, I hurt so bad. She had such a rare disease. I hurt so bad. And finally she had got to the point and she says, Mama, I want to die so I can go to heaven where I don't hurt anymore. And here I am, you know, I'm just a wiping up a storm and everything, and knowing that Faye was going to really give me the look at any moment, because I'd pick the movie that we didn't cry. But great, tremendous acting again. And I'm talking about with the kids. Oh, man, it was so awesome. But to see the miracle of God that blew everybody's mind once again, it's just amazing. Now, you saw the one, Jesse, when we did the one with the school kids on the bombing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, right now I got three good ones we can start with in November, Brother Randy, for that. Excellent. Okay, let me get back to the message tonight. God is. So when we say God is, it's going back to the great I am. I am what? I am anything and everything you'll ever need. God is exactly the only power, the only love that you and I will ever, ever need. And God tries to explain that to us and let us know, hey, here I am. Why do you keep going through this? Well, Lord, you don't understand how bad I hurt, the pain that I'm going through. And then you realize him watching his son on the cross and feeling every pain. And his son feeling, I'll bring this up again, your pain and all the multi-billions that will ever exist, Jesus had to feel each individual nightmare. And he did it. And some of these guys say, you know, I don't understand. He's the Son of God. He knew where he was going. Why was he sweating so bad in the garden like great drops of blood? And especially if you're around people that are supposed to be teachers of the word, well, you just want to take them to the woodshed. Because what are you talking about? Well, you're going home to be with the Lord. I'm going home to be with the Lord. That's in it. It doesn't matter about the garbage that I got. I'm going home to be with the Lord. But I ain't going until the Lord says, come on home. That doesn't matter about the cancers. It doesn't matter about all this other stuff. Okay, but here's what you and I must do. We must take the pain. We must look at our life to the point not to feel sorry for ourselves, but how to encourage others. How can I use the hardship, the pain and all that I have? And each of us need to do this. How can I help others? Well, you know, Brother Larry, I don't need, because my whole family's saved. I'm not worried about them. And your pastor would say, oh, well, I'm worried about you. Your family might be doing good. It's not about you. It is about everybody but you. That's what God taught us through letting his son go through this when he didn't have to. Can you imagine, again, like I talked about this movie where we're watching our kid, the kids go through this, and we get to Boston Hospital there. When you get to that and you see the kids with cancer and all of this other, as I said, it's awesome. But man, does it... again, you see why I watch the end, read the end of the books before I do it? If ain't nobody going to make it, I ain't reading it. So God says, I want you to know, Brother Randy, nothing can stop you from walking the path that I've given you to walk. The only thing that will keep you, that will make you freeze and not want to go any further, is the fear of the world. And by the way, I have conquered the world. I give you the path. Your job's to walk the path. God says, I'll take care of the rest of it. Comes into the faith. You'll see that in that movie. Actually, I'm not going to tell you any more about it. It's too good. The depth of who God is in reference to our individual life is to simply understand this fact. God is. Is present tense. You say, well, you know, the days of Jesus, what are you talking about? There's never been an existence that Jesus wasn't alive. The days of Jesus, oh yeah, you know, 2,000 years ago, no! Jesus is not dead. Same Jesus 2,000 years ago, same Jesus before time began, is still here. And he himself tells us, don't worry, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So what's my good excuse for not walking straight in to the lion's den? Aren't you? I'm just glad it's not a shark. I hate sharks. They're walking... No, Larry, I'm going to have you walk into the shark's mouth. Now, I want you to know, as a Christian, you should have enough faith to know that if you get in that pool with a bunch of sharks, that God is going to deliver you. No, he ain't. He's going to make shark bait out of me because I tempted God. When we get in those situations must be instituted. Those situations must be brought about by the enemies of God to where before I can conquer it. I don't have a right to go around and say, tempt God. I don't have that right. And say, let me show you what a good Christian I am. And Jesus, you all remember when the guy looked at Jesus and said, good master, remember that? And he says, why do you call me good? There is none good except for my Father in heaven. Now, here's a little lesson on that. The individual, Jesus, you know, says this back to him, but he said it back for others to hear, including his disciples. This guy has just called me God. The teaching was there's none good but God. And Jesus then, you know, he's trying to work on these disciples. Good master, good teacher. There's none good except for one, God. So it was a prophecy fulfilling as to when man would see Jesus. And Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And it was a recognition by this individual, Fugamak, forget who it was, by this individual that Jesus was able to take those words and once again attempt to teach the disciples about him. Let's go. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. How many people do you know that said, no, I planned my whole life for this retirement. And then illness hits. Then tragedy hits. And all of a sudden, they're broke. And people that, you know, say, well, I've got it all. Now's the time. The all that you think you have is a gift from God. Now, therefore, as a Christian, I don't have a right to say, oh, listen, no, I got to watch this, I got to watch that, because I won't have enough. I won't have enough to take care of me. Well, I got news for you. God takes care of us. He's the one that... isn't he the one that never lets them run out of oil? Isn't he the one that always makes sure that they have plenty of grain? Yes, water to wine and all. Yes. Okay. That was impossible. All of it was impossible, right? But the impossible just makes God smile. What is impossible for man? All things are possible for me. Number one, God is the God of the living. Matthew 22:32. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Okay. If my God is the God of the living, I will always be living with my God. He said, I love you, Larry. Jesus has told me about you. I don't have to worry what Jesus told him. If Randy was talking, you know, I may have to say, what did Randy and Larry tell you, Lord? I'm not sure. But think of that. Jesus says, I love them. We are the offspring of Jesus that you will find in the garden. We are the offspring. And I'm talking about of Eden. We are the offspring of Jesus Christ. And Satan will attack us because he knows he doesn't have a shot with messing with Jesus. But he also knows if you and I, and when we put our trust in Jesus, he ain't going to mess with us either. During those moments of pain and the hurt and the brokenness, life reveals itself. I've told you all before, I have no problem whatsoever in going to be with the Lord. And I know, and that the death part and all, it does not frighten me now. But I'll tell you this, at the time that this body starts shutting down, this body will fight death. We were not created to ever die. That's why when we say, yes, I'm ready to go, now you can be in enough pain, and I've seen folk that way, that, Lord, please, please, that's what this little girl was doing. But I never, don't ever think, now if it happens, it's a pure miracle that you'll be witnessing. But each one of us, without the miracle from God, our bodies will fight against death. And we'll, all of a sudden, all the human part that will hit us will say, was I right in all those sermons? Jesus, are you really there? Well, see, I know he's there, but I also know the human condition, and you do too. Well, the human condition is going to battle against what the human physical condition was never created for, to die. The more I watch the human body and what all is going on, the more I think, gosh, Lord, we are awesome. You've created a marvelous, he said. We are a marvelous structure, sculpture, direct from God. I like that. And he says, I am the God of the living. Isn't that where we want to go? To where the living are? I don't care much at all about being in a graveyard, a bunch of dead people. Think of God's word. Number two, God is in control of our life. Well, I'm taking control. No, you're not. You're just getting mouthy with God. And you know God still loves you. If you are a Christian, God still loves you even when you're mouthing off to him. You're showing disrespect to your father. How many of us have ever had children that didn't witness a little disrespect from the kids? So did you quit loving them because of their disrespect? Mom threatened to cut my tongue off one time. But outside of that, you know, I never, ever figure out, how did she know I had my tongue stuck out? Her back was turned to her. I was smart enough not to do it when she was looking. She just know. Yeah, that's right. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in heaven. Is that not present tense? Again. Is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Well, I'm going to tell God. Now, God, this is what you need to be doing. Don't get that cocky, folks. I'm going to tell God. I told God that he needed to do this, and now look at you, you're healed. Because I told him. Why, I prayed for you, because I prayed for you, you're healed. That's garbage, folks. You and I are to listen to the voice of God. And he says, pray, Larry. Well, do I not realize, and we realize from his word, I don't even know how to pray, remember? We don't have to, the Holy Spirit intercedes and takes our prayers directly to him. Because, you know, if I'm on a roll in prayer, there's no telling how many trucks I'd have. Think of that. But that's how people think. But God says for us, I'm in heaven. And Larry, I'll do whatever I please. Now, let me tell you what pleases God when it comes to us. It pleases God to give us the best. It pleases God to bless us every millisecond of the day. There is not a time in our life that you will not witness a direct blessing from God. God says, whatever I please, I can do, and it pleases me to love you, Gene. It pleases me to do all I can to help you. And that body's going to give up. All the kids can't be that same. Everybody's not going to be there. All the people that want to be there to hold your hand and all. God, through Jesus Christ, will always be there. And they ain't stopping him at the front door. He is always with us. So it pleases him. So why would I not trust God then in the fact that if it pleases God for me to live, I'll live. If I don't, and that pleases God, then great, great. But God says, I'm going to show you total mercy. Aren't you glad it was total? Aren't you glad salvation was total?
Amen.
I mean, folks, we would still be working on it. Or I'm working on myself. Larry, do you remember when you turned all the new pages in life every other day? I'm turning another page, Lord. Here's what I'm promising you. I'm tickled to death that God doesn't look at the books I've got.
You say one more for Jesus?
Yeah.
That was
somebody's father. If it's out of California, what's his name's dad, I think it was.
Yeah,
win one more for Jesus.
Yeah. That'll be your dying breath.
Yep. Sure will. And we've got to quit looking at people as to say, I don't know whether we want them in our church or not. Yeah. Then why would the church want me? It's not about what I want, what you want. It's about the love Christ has given us. That's why the Jewish nation got in trouble. God ordered them, I want you to go spread the word and let everyone know the Gentiles, which anybody that's not a Jew was a Gentile. The Gentiles can be with us in together. And the Jews said, we don't want them there. we're the first nation. Yeah. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Better study up on that, Brother Andy. I'm picking on him tonight, aren't I? Okay, listening to God is in control of our life. Psalm 115, verse 3. Had to pull Nebuchadnezzar in. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Now, this is a focus of where, let's say, Daniel is talking directly to King Nebuchadnezzar. Babylonian exile. And Nebuchadnezzar is the king, but Nebuchadnezzar, he saw the handwriting on the wall, and he's weighed in the balance and found lacking. Well, God extended his life, remember? But God had him out eating hay and what the cattle eat and all that until he recognized God in heaven as the sovereign God. Okay, that's what we're on. But now he had a son named Belshazzar. And Belshazzar is the one that went in and got all of the goblets and everything that had been dedicated to God, and they took them into a big party. Everybody got drunk, and he misused it. And so Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar, this is what's going on. And speaking of King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel describes the God of the living as the God in control of individual lives. Listen to Daniel 5, 20 and 21. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride. Remember, pride cometh before fall. He was deposed, this is Nebuchadnezzar, from his kingly throne. Oh no, we're better, we're the elite, we're better than everybody else. His kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Now, look at the they there. You see that? When you're reading, that's why I can't read very fast anymore at all. Because I have to study every line, the book or anything. I say, I'm waiting for the movie. Because I go back, now listen to this. And they took his glory from him. They happened to be his friends. They happened to be the ones of his court. And, you know, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, you the greatest thing since peanut butter. I don't know, they had peanut butter then. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. Isn't that interesting how many times in Scripture you'll see us compared, or God will use a donkey to straighten us out or compare us to that. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Until he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. I said that about America. God will give us exactly what we deserve. I believe that. God will give us what we deserve. It's what you do with whatever it is that makes a difference. Has America not stepped away from God? Have we not stepped away from our founding fathers who let us know you do not want this socialism stuff? You don't want a king. From the beginning with King Saul, it was God trying to tell him, you don't want him. I'll appoint him, but you don't want him because what have you ever had to give me, God said. And God had given his people everything. They didn't even pay taxes. And then God says, but when you have a king because you want to be like everybody else, I'm going to let you be like everybody else. That's the danger right now. The leaders think they've kicked God out. I got news for them. Yeah. God still owns this place. He's still in control. Yeah. And back again, and he does whatever he pleases. Just the upbeat part of that. He said, it has pleased me to love you. So I love that God is in control because it's not my actions that please him. It's his love for me that pleases him through Jesus. And hopefully and prayerfully, pastors will never back away from it's all about who Jesus is, not us. It's not about the size of churches. It's not about the preacher. It is about the Word of God. And God says, you preach my Word. Well, you got to read more of that and find out what happens when you don't. Number three, God is in control of your circumstances. Well, you know, this circumstance has brought that about. Really? Who controls circumstances? Well, you know, circumstances are controlled by circumstances. Big problem. Christians, don't get caught into this. We think that we have to figure it out. Every verse, that's why your pastor gets so ridiculous sometimes, reading and reading a verse until the Lord slaps me around a little bit and says, you're not going to get this, Larry. You're not going to, it's for another time. Watch this in your life. The blessings that God has given me in the later years of recognizing back in my past to see where he was working with me, and I didn't even know it at that time. And yet I see it now. I see it. But, you know, that time has passed. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to do it as Monday morning quarterbacks? Romans 8, 28 through 31. And we know that all things, right? Circumstances and all, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So, folks, all of us have a purpose. For whom he foreknew, you catching it? He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Okay, let me do this because people think, well, we'll get into all sorts of trouble with different beliefs and everything on predestination. Let me do it this way. I am predestined by God that when I say I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, that's it. I'm gone. That's the predestination. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But again, we get into a sovereign God. How could a sovereign God actually then give us freedom to choose? You'll never get that answer either. I don't even know in heaven how long it'll be before we get that one. Sovereign, total sovereignty, and yet I'll give you freedom of choice. Huh. But did you ever read about kings that ever did that, Brother Randy? They have, now the people who chose ended up in a lion's den and a fiery furnace and all this other. Not with God. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Is it not that we're to have Christ living in us, and are we not to get to the point to where let others see Jesus in you? We sang it. Yeah, but it's got a good beat to it. That's why we sang it. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, let's not get in a conversation with God either to where you get to the point and say, Lord, now you missed it on this one. No, don't get that cocky. He didn't miss a thing. He knew every moment that we were going to be jerks. He knew it. He knew as soon as I promised him that this will never happen again. He knew it. And he loved me anyway. He knew what would happen in my life before time began. And he knew what to listen to from my mouth, but to look at in my heart. He said, I want to see your heart, Larry, because your tongue is messed up. Got it? Messed up, Phyllis. Messed up. Number four, final one. God is in control of your future. Here's what I'm going to do tomorrow. Oh, I thought we were, don't say what you will or won't do tomorrow. What you should say is, if it be God's will, you will do this or you will do that. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Now listen to it. This is what God's saying. This is what I'm doing with you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Randy, Jean, Larry, Kathy, Phyllis, and Mitch. Oh, you too, Larry Pete. Thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. So quit saying that God sent evil against me. God cannot be tempted to sin or send evil, and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The Lord listens to our tongue. Oh, gosh. You know, I wonder what kind of rating our tongues would get in heaven. I know there must be a rating worse than X or something. But God says, Larry, I see your desire. You want to love me. And life gets in the way. But life does not get in the way of me protecting you. Therefore, I want you to know, I'm in control of your future. More that you plan, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. More that you plan without me will be the more that will fail in your future. Trust me, I got you. I got this. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a great rest of the week.